A very good day to all of you, and welcome to this subject on managing IT projects. We are going to look at chapter 2, which is the PMI, or the Project Management Institute Framework. A quick look at the learning objectives. We are going to look at the Project Management Institute Framework for understanding project management and how projects need to be managed. We are going to look at what is called the scope of Project Management Institute. We will look at the knowledge areas defined in the Project Management Book of Knowledge, or the PMBOK, BOK as it is called. And we will have a quick look at what we say is the process view of project management. So coming back to our first thing, what was the Project Management Institute? So the Project Management Institute, PMI, or project is a specialized institute for project management. It is now clearly understood that managing projects, whether it is in the aerospace industry or the construction industry or the defense sector, or it is managing a road or building a bridge, requires special skills and capabilities. Okay? The Project Management Institute was therefore started by people from these industries along with the academia, and was founded in October 1969 at the Georgia Institute of Technology, USA, as a non-profit organization which was devoted exclusively to the development of the field of project management. Now, this institute has become the pivot of and a knowledge storehouse of knowledge for everything that is happening in project management. This institute is, as I said, a non-profit organization. It's a body of project management, project managers and experts in the field of project management who are constantly researching and improving our understanding of how projects work and how we can improve upon the deliverables of the projects over a period of time. Now, the Project Management Institute offers a range of services to the project management professionals in the area of project management, such as development of standards, research into project management, education, publication of latest information and data regarding project management, networking opportunities for different project management professionals at the local chapter level or at the national level where such organizations exist. It hosts conferences, conducts training programs, disseminates informations, and maintains multiple credentials in the area of project management. Now, Project Management Institute had recruited industry volunteers to create what is called industry standards, one of which is the Project Management Book of Knowledge, a body of knowledge which has been certified or which has been recognized by the American National Standards Institute, or ANSI as it is known. As of now, as of 2017, the Project Management Institute has over 500,000 members in over 207 countries. These members are divided into various groups like engineering, financial services, healthcare, IT, IT-enabled services, etc. Project management research and certification programs are conducted by the PMI, and the PMI certifies people who have undergone this certification program as project management professional, or PMP. It has, as of 2017, certified over 1.2 million people since its inception in 1969. A PMP, or a project management professional, has sufficient experience in project management, which is documented, verified, and agrees to follow a standard code of ethic, and has passed the PMP exam, which is a this thing which is a record of his skills and understanding of project management as a subject. Now, the scope of project management book of knowledge. Now, project management is a complex, multidisciplinary profession which have multiple areas of overlap and has many functional areas that work together to create or make a project successful or implement a project successfully. Now, the degree of overlap is also dependent on which particular industrial sector or field or application is using this project management techniques and methods to implement a project. Okay? The three major points of overlap are in the areas of general management, two, the technical areas in which the project is involved or which are required for the completion of the project, and the supporting or the service areas which are crucial to the overall success of the project implementation. This overlap that we see in the project management implementation process can be, put together on a Venn diagram. If you see the Venn diagram on your screen right now, and this is what the Venn diagram is showing on the screen right now, if you see, it is divided into three areas, which is the business. In the business, we talk of product, price, place, and promotion, which are typically the four P's of marketing. The product is being marketed to the customer or into the market. Okay. Then we have a customer who has certain expectations from the product, is expecting a functionality or usability from the product, as well as there is a product design that he looks forward to. And then there is technology. The three areas of overlap, this area of overlap over here between the business, technology and customer is the field of or area of or expertise of project, where the expertise of project management is required. Now, the original European Space Agency project in which the PMI, the Project Management Institute, contributed a big deal. A lot of it is we were set up with the goal of fostering the professionalism of project managers. It has taken the initial step in definition of what is the project management body of knowledge. So the initial understanding or the initial area of what the project management body of knowledge contains comes from this project of the European Space Agency. Now, this work or this understanding became the baseline which provides the outline of the project management book of knowledge or the PMBOK as it is called. The ultimate objective of this exercise was to extend this outline of PMBOK to provide standards for professionalism in the area of project management. The baseline concept divided the project management into the following six functions. So the baseline concept divided the project management into the following six basic functions. The six knowledge areas are human resources management, number one. Number two is cost management. Number three is time management. Number four is communications management. Number five is scope management. And number six is quality management. So these are the six knowledge areas which are there in the scope of the PM book. Now, project scope is actually the work required to determine what is the deliverable of the project. Every project has a certain outcome or an output which is defined in the project scope. Over the period of implementation of a project, there are changes coming in, certain things may change, and therefore the project scope of work or the scope of work may change, which requires a process to manage the scope of change which may occur over a period of time of the implementation of the project. This is the there is therefore in the PMBOK and the PMI a very structured defined process which makes change management possible and ensure that the project will still continue to be on time and achieve the implementation within the predetermined cost. Scope of work is now defined by work breakdown structure, and changes, if any, should take place through formal change control processes and procedures at the WBS level, not at the overall objective level. Now, the premise of the Project Management Institute, the basic fundamental of the Project Management Institute is that whatever be the type of project, whether we are doing a project in civil engineering or we are doing a project in construction or we are doing a project in engineering or we are doing a project in IT and software, whatever be the area of project, though they may be from different industries, the methods and techniques and processes are common across all these industry sectors. And this is the premise on which the whole, the body of the PMBOK is based. The system of project implementation remains identical, and these steps in project implementation are also the same. The mix of elements could differ from industry to industry depending on what the scope is, but essentially it is the same. The Project Management Book of Knowledge is a de facto standard on what is called the basic knowledge and practice of project management. And to make this simple and easy, the PMBOK is divided into 9 different knowledge areas. So what would be the 9 knowledge areas of the PMBOK? Let us see on the next slide. So these are the 9 knowledge areas of the PMBOK as follows. First one is the project scope management, which determines what is the laid down scope of work or what is the deliverable of the project. The second one is the project time management. This is a statement of how much time it will take to implement the entire project from start to finish. When can it be handed over to the user for starting using the project? The third area is the project cost management, which lays down the budget that has been defined for the project. The fourth one is the project quality management. This determines the qualities, the level of quality that will be built into the project from a delivery point of view and what quality standards will be followed in this project implementation. The fifth area is the project human resource management, which is typically determining the kind of people, the kind of resources, the kind of skills that are required to be able to complete this project on time and budget and at the desired quality level. The sixth one is the project communication management, which actually lays down the structure of the project management organization that is, implementing this project, with reporting lines and structures and the communication lines. It also gives methods by which the client can, interact with the project management team and escalation charts defined in that. The seventh area of knowledge is the project risk management, which determines the possible risks that are there in this project and also determines or also lays down what are the mitigation strategies that the project will use to mitigate the identified risks at this level. Okay. The next one, which is the eighth knowledge area, which is the project procurement management, typically lays down the bill of material that is required for the project, will lay down the process that will be followed for purchasing these materials, raw materials and components and, equipment, etc., that will be required as a result of implementing this project. And the last one, the ninth area, is the project integration management, which is kind of integrating all these areas into one. So this is how the PM book of knowledge or project management book of knowledge has been structured in different areas. We will go into these areas in a little more detail to understand what they entail and what they have for us. So the nine areas that have been identified by the project management book of knowledge actually create the competencies that the project managers must develop and is divided as follows. So there are four core knowledge areas that lead to what are called specific project objectives, called the scope, time, cost and quality. Then we have four facilitating knowledge areas that create the means through which the project objectives are achieved, which is HR, communications, risk and procurement management. And then there is one knowledge area, which is project integration management, which impacts and is impacted by all the nine areas. It is an integrative function across all the other areas of project management. Therefore, an understanding of all the knowledge areas is important for a project manager. Now, project management tools and techniques help project managers and their teams in various areas of project management. The key tools that are used in project management are the project charter, the scope of work statement, or also called the SOW statement. Then we have what is called the WS scope, which is the work breakdown structure scope. Then use of Gantt charts, network diagrams, critical path analysis, critical path chain scheduling, which is the timelines. Then we have cost estimates and earned value estimates coming in. In addition to that, we have a new set of tools called super tools, which have been brought in by the Project Management Institute now and also other private companies. With these tools have high use and potential for improving the success rate of the project implementation, which include project management software, scope statements, requirements analysis, lessons learned reports, etc. Okay? There are other tools which can also be used to improve the project implementation, which include what are called progress reports, timely or at fixed interval of time, what is the progress of the project that is monitoring that. Then there are tools of kickoff meetings, Gantt charts, change process requests. For each of these areas, knowledge is provided in a very structured model in the form of input, process and output, which makes the project management professionals understand exactly what is required at each step of the project management or the project implementation. Now, what are the inputs required? What is the process of transforming the input to a desired output? And what specific outputs are expected from the knowledge areas is what we will try and understand as we move along. Now, diagrams in the following slides will actually give you a complete snapshot of the Project Management Institute framework. All these charts are self-explanatory and describe how each knowledge area of the project is to be used and how it can be used for managing the project. Let us look at each one of this in a little detail. So let's look at the complete project management scope. So if you see the first one, which is scope management, you have initiation, planning and definition, verification and change control. You have quality management, which defines planning, assurance, control. You have risk management, which identifies the risk, quantifies the risk, and also gives a method of mitigating the risk. Then we have time management, which defines the activity, sequencing, duration, schedule, control, and development. Then we have cost management, which says what are the resources required in terms of people, machinery, material, with their budgets, estimate of the budget and the quantities required, and how the budgeting and control will happen for that. Then there's a communication management, which defines the planning of communication, the time-to-time reports and MIS that have to be generated regarding the project and who will need this report and who this information has to be sent to. So the information distribution. Then the communication management also defines the performance review and reporting and the administrative closure of each element. Then coming to HR management and procurement management, HR management defines the organization structure, planning, staff acquisition, or you know, from where do we get the people, what kind of skills are required, and total team development activity, whereas the procurement management defines the materials that are required and the complete purchase process. It may have templates for standard purchase orders, RFPs, how the RFPs have to be sent to the supplier, methods of evaluation, and so on and so forth. And then you have integration management, which looks at plan development, execution, and overall change control. So this is how project management is looked at from an overall perspective. Now moving further, we look at what is called project integration management. Now in the project integration management, you have a project plan development. The inputs are other planning outputs, historical information about the organization and the project, organizational policies and constraints, and key assumptions. Now, the project plan uses, the tools it uses are project planning methodology, complete stakeholder skills and knowledge, and the project management information system to disseminate and distribute information about the project. Its output at the end of this whole process is a complete project plan, detailing how this project will be implemented along with all the supporting information. The project plan execution uses this project plan as an input. It uses the supporting details also as an input and then takes the organizational policies which are predefined by the company for whom the project is being done and any corrective actions that may be required as an input. What are the tools that it uses? It uses general management skills, product skills and knowledge, understanding of review meetings, work authorization systems, the project management information systems and organizational systems and procedures to create work results and change requests. And then we have the overall change control. The overall change control uses the project plan as an input. It uses the change request format defined in the project management book of knowledge and the performance report format defined in the project management book of knowledge. What are the tools and techniques it uses? It uses a change control system and the project management information system, configuration management, additional planning and performance management or performance measures to initiate changes. What is the output? We get a redefined project plan or a project plan with a new or an additional scope of work defined. There might be a different performance report coming out as a result of changes, and of course it documents and registers all the changes that have been made in the project since its inception till its completion. So this is how typical project integration management happens. If you look at project scope management, in terms of project scope management, we have initiation of the project, scope planning and scope definition. So project scope is, what is the initiation of the project? What is the product description? What is the organization's strategic plan? What do they wish to achieve as a result of this project? What is the project selection criteria and historical information related to the organization for whom the project is being done? What are the tools and techniques this project scope management uses? It uses project selection methods and expert judgments, or it uses the opinions of industry experts and subject matter experts to determine what project should be done. Output is, of course, a project plan with supporting details. Now, the scope planning uses the project charter defined in the project management book of knowledge. What are the key assumptions in the project? What are the key constraints? And in case of any issue, what could be the corrective action that can be taken? Again, the tools used over here are the project and product analysis, expert judgment by industry experts or subject matter experts, a cost-benefit analysis, and alternative identification of plans, which is Plan B and Plan C. What is the output? Does scope planning generate? It generates a statement of scope of work document with supporting details and a management plan. Then of course, from the initiation to scope planning, we come to scope definition. We have a complete statement of what this project entails and what is required from this project, what are the key assumptions made in the project, what are the key constraints operating against the project, other planning output and any historical information that typically will support the project or are used for the base information or improving our understanding of the project. The tools and techniques used are the work breakdowns, system or the work breakdown structure template and decomposition of the project into what we call manageable work units. And the output of this is the work breakdown structure. So how can I, take this complete project and break this down into a manageable, subunits or what are called work units. To give you an example, say for example, a group of people want to plan a picnic. Now, so this is the project that we want to go for a picnic, and say the group has about 50 people planning to go for a picnic somewhere. So the objective of this will be to set, okay, we want to go for a picnic where once the destination is defined, then there will be people, you can break this down into somebody looking after. So work, if you do the work breakdown, the work structure, the work breakdown structure approach, you may break this the project of a picnic up into various subcomponents where one group of people may be looking at transport arrangements. A second group of people may be looking at, if we are going to a particular place, what are we going to do? What are the different entertainment that is planned for the people coming for the project? A third group could alternatively be looking at, food and, beverages arrangement. A fourth team could be looking at budgets and costs that we are there and collection of funds for this. So this is how an output, a work breakdown structure will look like for, say, a very simple project of, managing a picnic for a group of 50 people. Okay? Then, of course, scope management, project scope management also has what we call scope verification and scope change control. And under scope verification, there are certain input documents that are required, typically related to product documentation and results. Then what are the inspection methods we are going to use to inspect A, the material that is coming in for the project, B, the progress that the project has made, and formal acceptance of the outputs. So you will see multiple areas that are there in each of these things. The third one is the project time management. Now, the project time management, there's a schedule control, there's a schedule development and activity definition. Now, what does the schedule control do? It uses the project schedule as an input document. It also uses the performance report and change request and schedule management plan as the input document. What are the tools and techniques it uses? It uses, additional planning, performance measurement, project management software and change control systems. And what is the output it creates? It creates the schedule updates, corrective actions, and what are the lessons we learned from the mistakes or from the delays that may have happened in the project. Then there's a schedule development that happens on the basis of this. This output then becomes an input to the schedule development. So this impacts the project network diagram. It impacts the activity duration calendar. It may change the resource requirement and resource pool requirement assumptions and may give leading indicators and lag indicators. Tools and techniques, it may use mathematical analysis, it may use a duration compression, it may use simulation, it may balance resources across the various parts of the project to ensure that timelines and budgets are met, and this will also use project management software. What it will generate? It will generate a project schedule with supporting details and a schedule management plan with an update on the resources requirement. Then this schedule development is taken further into activity definition in terms of work breakdown structure, scope statements, and historical information. What output does this generate? It generates a revised work breakdown structure and activity list and supporting details. Going further, the project time management will also do a complete activity sequencing. For activity sequencing, it must know the activities that have to be performed to implement this project or complete this project. It must give the product description, it will give the constraints. It will also define the external dependencies which each activity has on each other and the key assumptions. What are the tools and techniques it uses? It uses what is called the precedence diagramming method, the arrow diagramming method, or the conditional diagramming method, and network templates, which could be PERT CPM methods to do the activity sequencing. And the key output it generates is a complete project network diagram, giving the sequence of activities, giving the timelines in these activities, and the dependencies. And it gives a complete list of activity updates. Now, the next part of it is the activity duration estimate. How long is it going to take for each activity to be completed from start to finish? So this is how it will use the activity list, and then within the activity list, it will look at the constraints that are there in each activity, and constraints could be financial, constraints could be budgetary, constraints could be time-wise, constraints could be skills-wise, depending on what the constraints are, and then determine resource requirement, resource capabilities, and may also use past historical information to estimate this thing. What are the tools and techniques used? Expert judgment, analogous estimating, and simulation. What is the output it generates? It generates a complete list of every activity with the time it will take to complete it. It will give us the basis on which this time duration has been estimated and a list of all the complete activities. So continuing our journey in understanding the various modules that are there under the project management thing, we are looking at the project cost management. Now, the project cost management typically defines the costing baseline, the methods of estimating the costs of various elements of the project, what kind of performance reports we will require to understand whether the costs are under control, the cost management plan, and change requests for costs. What are the tools and techniques that are used over here? Cost change control system, performance measurement, of course, the computerized tools, etc. What is the output? There's a budget update. There's a revised cost estimate being created every time a new thing is added and budgets are updated. Corrective action and lessons learned. From the cost control, we come to cost budgeting. We have a project schedule. We have a work breakdown structure and cost estimates. We use various cost estimating tools and techniques that allow us to estimate the cost of the project, and we create an output, which is the overall cost that this project will entail in doing it. Of course, in the project cost estimate, there is a complete resource planning that happens. So resource planning is there on the work breakdown structure. The inputs are the work breakdown structure, the historical information, and the scope statement. Of course, the organizational policies and resource pool description. Tools and techniques for resources, we put our expert judgment on how many people are required, how many resources are required to complete this thing, and any other alternatives are there. What is the output? Total understanding of the resources required for the project. Then in the estimation of costs, there's a rate that we are using to estimate the cost of each resource. We are also using, so rates are obtained from the market or through the internet or through other projects that we have done in the past. We are using the work breakdown structure, the historical information about previous costs, charter of accounts, and activity duration estimates to really create the cost estimates. The tools and techniques we use are the analogous estimating, which is the ad hoc estimating that we do, then parametric modeling and computerized tools. And the output that we generate is a complete estimate of the cost with supporting documents and how do we control the cost and manage the cost in specific project-related areas of problem. Then we have the complete project quality management, which details the quality planning, the quality assurance, and the quality control. Again, this will use various input documents, various tools, and create an answer. So the quality planning will, of course, start with the quality policy of the organization and what is the predefined quality levels. It will use tools and techniques like benchmarking, flow charting, design of experiments, or processes or how to determine the quality and a cost analysis. The output it will create is a quality management plan, the operational definitions, checklists, and now this quality management plan actually becomes the input document to the quality assurance plan. Okay? The quality assurance plan also determines, uses the results of the quality control measurement. What results are we going to look at, and operational definitions. What are the tools and techniques we will use for quality assurance? Quality planning tools, techniques, and audits. And the output is where can the quality be improved. Similarly, quality control will define the work results, will define the quality management plan, the operational definitions. Tools and techniques will be inspections, experiments, control charts, flow charting, trend analysis to identify any issues. Output again will be a high quality project delivered. So this is quality management. Then we have project human resource management. This will give the complete organizational planning, the staff acquisition, and the team development method. So it will give the complete requirement of manpower, the complete requirement of skills. It will give the profile of the people that we need, the number of people that we need, the salaries that are to be paid to these people, what kind of costs it will entail, what kind of training it will entail, how will these teams be managed. These teams could be in multiple locations. How will the communication, reporting lines, structures, etc. work in the human resource management aspect of the project? Okay? It has all these activities related to everything that is related to a human resource. Now, it is similar to what the human resources of an organization will do, only in this case it is specific to this project. There are large projects that may entail large workforces being recruited and therefore being managed. Then you have the project communication management, which defines what is the communication requirement of the project, which information and which report needs to go from one part of the project team to another part of the project team. You may have project teams working in the work breakdown structure method, where input from one unit may be output of one unit can be an input to another unit so that they can use. So this will define dependencies, or this will understand dependencies and create a communication management plan so that the input, the right kind of information flow is there across the entire project management team, and the right kind of information flow happens with the review team and the higher management or the customer, as the case may be. So this is project communication management. We'll also have a performance reporting in terms of inputs, complete reporting method of how the information will be. It'll also define a project review meetings, what will happen in the project review meetings, what will be the scope. It'll also identify how the review will happen, what data points are required for the review mechanism, etc. So all the performance reporting tools, techniques, review mechanisms will be used, and this is what the project communication management will be all about. Then you have the project risk management, which will identify the risks that are there in the project, inherent in the project. It will also have an understanding of how these risks are being generated. It will have an understanding of how these risks can be mitigated. It will also quantify the impact of the risk and the level of the risk over here. So this is risk management. We will also have a risk response. How are we going to, what is going to be our response in case this risk is observed, or if this risk comes up during the implementation of the project? What are we going to do? What is our contingency plan, or what is our plan B, plan C, etc., to handle the risk? What is our risk mitigation plan, and what happens if this risk cannot be mitigated, and how do we handle the situation as a result of that? So it'll come up with all kinds of contingency plan, risk management plans, contractual agreements. It'll put in place legal agreements to reduce or limit the liability as a result of the risk, and it'll also create the corrective action based on the risks that we are likely to face. Then you have the project procurement management. Now this is the section that deals with procurement of material that and equipment required to complete the project, or required as a part of the project implementation. This will determine the specifications of all the materials, raw materials that are required. It will also look at what are called make or buy analysis. It will look at what kind of contracts we need to enter with our vendors. It will give templates of contracts, terms. It will define the terms and conditions or standardize the terms and conditions across the entire procurement plan or across the entire procurement process, and so on and so forth. Okay, the output can be, output of this procurement management will be proposals that come from the vendors, which are used for purchasing material and equipment required as a result of or required for the project to be implemented successfully. This will also have a complete parameter on the selection criteria for the different vendors. It will have a contract management system which will see what are the, it will have templates for contracts. It will have payment changes, all the standard terms and conditions, etc., will be a part of all this. Okay. So this is project procurement management. In addition to looking at these nine areas of the project management book of knowledge, we also take what is called the process view of project management. Now, the process view of project management allows us to look at the whole thing in a holistic manner. Okay, PMI, the Project Management Institute, thinks that managing a project needs a process approach. And there are five basic processes that the PMI has identified to look at it from a process management. It is process initiation, planning, execution, monitoring, and closure. And then the PM framework regroups from those nine knowledge areas into these five categories. So all processes linked to planning are grouped under planning. All processes grouped under, all processes linked to, say, execution are grouped under execution, and so on and so forth. Okay. So if you look at the process view of project management, this is how it looks. So for example, the process category is initiating a process, the core process is initiation, and the support process is also initiation. So in the planning process, scope is planning, definition activity, sequencing, duration estimation, and the support processes are quality, organizational planning, communication, risk identification, risk response development, procurement planning, solicitation, and solicitation planning, etc. In the execution process, the execution is the core process, and the support processes are scope verification, quality control, team development, information distribution, etc. In the controlling process, the overall change control and performance reporting, how are we managing and controlling the project? So all your reviews, mechanisms, review charts, scope change control, schedule control, quality control, etc., are the support processes. And the closeout process has a contract closeout, which is an administrative closure of that project, does not have a support process. So this is what we call is the process view of project management. Another way of looking at it is the nine areas that we have identified in the PMBOK redefined into these five different process categories. This ends our session on the PMI, the Project Management Institute. Thank you so much for hearing this out, listening to this. I hope it was an insightful discussion for you, and all the very best into your journey on managing IT projects. Thank you.